So we will move on to House Bill 1079. Make an appropriation to the Department of Health to provide grants to support mental health and suicide prevention programs and to declare an emergency. Do we have any proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Taylor Rayfelt, and I am a state representative in District 14 in Sioux Falls. Today, I'm proud to bring you HB 1079 for your consideration. So today, I'm going to kind of split up my testimony into two components. I'm going to go with first a logistical and practical component, and then along with a more of a heart component to explain more of why I'm so interested in this topic. So first, let's talk about the business and the practicality of this bill and why it makes sense. I'd like to remind the committee about some of our South Dakota statistics. Suicide is a leading cause of death for ages 5 to 34. It's the 10th leading cause of death overall, and suicide has been the 9th or 10th leading cause of death for the last 5 years. It's the 7th leading cause of death for the Native American population, and Native Americans have 2.6 higher incidence than the South Dakota white races. In 2021, we had the highest number ever for suicide attempts and deaths at 202 deaths. That's the 7th highest suicide rate in the nation in 2021. Over the last 10 years, suicide deaths have increased by 50%. They're 79% male and 21% are female. Even more alarming, 21.5% of South Dakota high school students considered suicide, and 11.9% of South Dakota high school students actually attempted. Unfortunately, 4 of our South Dakota counties rank as the top 1% of highest suicide rates in the entire nation. That's Buffalo, Todd, Corson, and Oglala Lakota. I also think it's important to highlight our self-harm statistics. From 2016 to 2021, there were 4,186 hospitalizations and 6,169 emergency department visits for non-fatal self-inflicted injuries. I believe these statistics probably tell you enough about this story and why this grant is important. Now, onto the heart of why this isn't so important. Now, I'm emotional, I'm sure you can all tell, and suicide has really impacted my life from a toddler to an adolescent to an adult, and so I want to explain a little bit of that, and excuse my emotion, but it's very important to me. I've had 2 family members commit suicide and die by suicide. One was when I was a toddler. Her name was Judy Longville. And I was able to watch my family work through that process and watch the pain and suffering that happened as a result of that. Fast forward 20 years, my uncle, his name was Don Longville, died by suicide when I was in college. And I still remember his laughter. I remember his emotion, and I remember more than that, my dad's reaction to his death. And he was his best friend. His partner in crime is what I would like to call him. They did everything together. So that really has influenced me and who I am and has influenced how I approach this subject and really has encouraged me to speak about it more. It's not an easy topic to talk about, and I'm sure many of you in this room have been impacted by suicide and understand what I'm talking about when I talk about this topic and how gut-wrenching it really is for a family and gut-wrenching it is to watch someone that you love to make that decision. In addition, I think I'll just share a little bit about my path as an adolescent. You know, I grew up in a very nice home. My parents love me deeply, but I too, like many kids, suffer from depression, hopelessness, and I don't want kids in our state to have no one that makes an intervention. Thankfully, my mom is a therapist, so what I like to describe is I was in therapy for brushing my teeth wrong. So, and, you know, that happened to me frequently. Therapy is a normal part of our family. We go in and out of it. There's always interventions when there's something wrong. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I had a mom that cared about me. But not all kids have that. Most kids don't. And, you know, the hopelessness in our world has probably increased, at least in my opinion, over the last 10 to 20 years. And I think it's time for us to say, that we need more. We need more interventions to take care of our kids that are suffering, because not everyone has somebody to be that person to say, are you okay? So I'm going to get to logistics of the bill now. The Department of Health has been doing really great work in suicide prevention, so I don't want to downplay any of the work that they've been doing, because they're trying diligently. I sincerely do appreciate their work, and this bill is really intended to strengthen that relationship with the Department of Health, not to point fingers or say that they're doing something wrong. But here is the reality. We absolutely can, and we absolutely should be doing more. We should not be hearing about 8-year-olds dying by suicide. My son is 7 years old, and I cannot imagine. What this bill does is provides funding for suicide prevention services that target youth and young adults, primarily targeting those under 30 years old. The grant program would support both existing and new programs, and the intention of it is written this way so we continue to utilize the already existing programs that are working well, and then some of these programs are at risk of losing funding over the next year, 6 months to a year. In addition, we also want to provide additional opportunities to target our youth, which I mean by that is under 18 years old. We want to support data collection within these populations so we can find gaps, learn, and make progress. You will hear from mental health experts today and about organizations that are currently working in this space with suicide prevention and that are willing to step up to the plate and do more. Federal funding tends to be where most of our money comes from for suicide prevention. We cannot continue to rely only on, you know, inconsistent federal funding for this space. Suicide prevention should be our number one priority. Our interventions and our decisions can change the trajectory of suicide in South Dakota. Let's be the ones who say, yes, we can do more, and let's be the ones who say, yes, we will do more. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Health and Human Services Committee. I am Deb Fisher Clemens. I represent Avera as we speak today. And as you are all well aware, Avera has been very involved in behavioral health with our facilities, particularly one in Sioux Falls, but also in Aberdeen. We do work in Yankton. So the number one thing I want to talk about is that this is a very, very important piece of legislation. And it's important because of so much work that needs to go into helping young people and other people to help deal with depression, I'll say number one. According to research, suicide is the leading cause of death among those who suffer from depression. Now think about any of your friends or family that you have, that they have experienced depression. So many people. So Avera started a campaign, I think it's about a year ago this time, to put some resources into it to raise the awareness for the importance of asking the question. And it's not, how are you? It's not, how are you feeling? It's not, how are you doing today? It's, are you considering suicide? I'm very concerned about you. Is there any chance that you're thinking about suicide today? And they'll answer the question. Think about that. Don't ask how people are doing if you're concerned. Ask if they are considering suicide. It's a huge campaign across Avera right now because we have seen these statistics. That is why I'm also supportive of Lost and Found, which you'll hear about here shortly. We need all the help we can get in this state to help our young people who have been suffering, and some of that suffering has come from COVID. We've all lived through that. But young people who were kept in their homes and didn't have social interaction are suffering. They are depressed. It is the number one reason for young people to commit suicide. Ask the question, support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Eric Mucky. I am a registered lobbyist. I'm also representing our organization, Lost and Found. Lost and Found is a comprehensive suicide prevention and postvention services nonprofit based out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that delivers services for youth and young adults ages 10 to 34 and their immediate support networks. Our programs and reach cover the entire state. We are primarily served higher education institutions statewide, currently partnership or working with in some programmatic fashion with 11 institutions of higher ed throughout the state of South Dakota, extending from Spearfish to Sioux Falls. Our work focuses on training mental health peer mentors. We also help organizations measure outcomes for mental health and suicide prevention. We train community members on how to, as Deb Fisher-Clemens just shared, ask the question and talk about suicide with family and friends, but then also be able to address the support needed for suicide loss survivors with partners like the Helpline Center. Our organization was primarily an association of campus-based student organizations founded by a group of South Dakotans in 2010, myself included. Our organization adapted dramatically during the COVID-19 pandemic, and since 2020, our organization has trained over 400 young adults for mental health peer mentorship throughout the state of South Dakota. Our evaluation research services and policy services directly or indirectly impact more than 200,000 South Dakotans. We've served since the fall of 2022, 13 families who've been impacted by suicide loss with financial resources, particularly those who are low to moderate income. And lastly, we've engaged over 5.1 million people online through digital mental health content. Obviously, that's not just South Dakota at that point. What I'm here to share in terms of our support, our organization supports House Bill 1079 for three key reasons. One is that it gives the Department of Health one-time funds and flexibility in continuing their important suicide prevention and postvention services statewide, while also meeting state suicide prevention goals. Secondly, it continues to address the data that you've been hearing about. We have a tremendous need for youth and young adults in our state right now. Thirdly, we support this bill knowing that there are providers in the state who can meet the need of this bill, ourselves included. And so when I think about this bill and starting first with the bill itself, the bill addresses three core areas, mental health and suicide prevention, peer support training, community mental health and suicide prevention data services, and suicide loss response services, totaling $4 million in one-time funding. Based on the terminology for one-time funding, it would last us through June of 2027. Each of those three areas in the bill would address at least three core strategies of the South Dakota Suicide Prevention Work Group. So Lost and Found is a nonprofit member of the sub-work group. Lots of words to say. There's a few state agencies that are collaborating on the state suicide prevention plan and certain nonprofits involved in that process as well, which includes Lost and Found. This gives the Department of Health flexibility at a time when these funds and these services are needed most to additionally augment the work that they're already doing. It also gives them agency through the emergency clause to address these needs at a timely fashion and in the fashion that the Department of Health has processes to address. The second reason we're supporting the bill is something that you've already heard about. You've heard a lot of the statistics. What I think I can add to that as far as what's going on in South Dakota, if you look at current 2022 data for suicide, 42% of the data captured to date says that suicide is under the age of 35. So 42% of the suicide deaths in 2022 to date are under the age of 35. We know that suicide impacts everybody, especially suicide risk. In particular, we know that this data is showing us that youth and young adults are particularly impacted in South Dakota, especially in our rural communities and our tribal nations. We also know, based on recent data that's been shared about the 988, the new three-digit number for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline that's manned by the Helpline Center here in South Dakota, that around 59% of callers to 988 in the past year have come from folks under the age of 30 years old. There's a pretty significant need at this point, and when I think about this problem of suicide, we also have to consider that it's not just a problem of suicide. We also have a problem with mental health care workforce shortages and trying to sustain these programs with limited or, in some cases, no funding. At this point in time, based on the data provided by the Department of Health, all 66 South Dakota counties are in a mental health care workforce shortage. Wait times can be as long as 1 to 6 weeks, depending on the institution you're engaging with. And depending on the ratios you're looking at, certain national organizations have said that only 10.7% of schools in South Dakota, K-12, have enough counselors to meet the need. Given that, There's a current partnership that Lost and Found has with the Department of Health for certain services that will likely expire in terms of continuation funding after June 2024, as well as the fact that certain programs for high school peer support are set to expire as early as June 2023. We really need to make sure that we have support and funds in place to continue this work and not lose steam on an effort that's being made by the Department of Health and state agencies to solve this problem. The third reason why we're supporting the bill is that there's organizations who can support this work. Specifically, if Lost and Found, for example, were selected to do this work under an RFP process with the Department of Health, we'd be able to meet each of the three goals in 4 years with four different programs. In terms of the first goal of the bill, mental health and suicide prevention peer support training, Lost and Found is an existing peer support program delivered to post-secondary institutions in South Dakota that would continue under this. The second peer support effort would be called the Hope Squad. It's a program based out of Provo, Utah, that is a federally evidence-based program that Lost and Found would partner with and ensure that it's delivered to every region of South Dakota, specifically partnering with the 11 regional community mental health centers. To address goal number two of community mental health and suicide prevention data services, Lost and Found has created what's called a resilience index that helps create dashboards to aggregate suicide prevention capacity data, again, delivered to schools and colleges. The third area of work, suicide loss response planning, Lost and Found currently engages with institutions of higher ed and would engage with schools to develop suicide loss plans and postvention policies. Overall, these outcomes directly and indirectly would support as many of the 66 counties as possible and ensure that these program funds are delivered to as many schools and post-secondary institutions as can implement them. The focus of this bill is really about adoption and implementation. How do we make sure that programs and services that schools and colleges want to implement has the support and technical assistance necessary to make sure that they're successfully adopted over the next few years? As an organization, we work every day to raise private funds to support these types of programs. And so when I say this, I say with certainty, no matter the outcome of the bill, our organization's committed to doing this work in South Dakota and will continue to do so to the best of our ability. We're also a proud member of the South Dakota Suicide Prevention Work Group. We'll continue to support the state prevention plan, and we're continuing our partnership with the Department of Health and excited to do so. I'll leave you with this. When it comes to suicide, just echoing something, just think about the fact that more than 200 people died by suicide in 2021 in South Dakota. It's an all-time record. Right now, we're on pace to exceed previous records. If we don't take action, we're going to continue to have a problem in which 10 to 29-year-old South Dakotans are experiencing suicide death at the highest levels. It's the greatest risk for death at this point. There is no single grand solution to suicide. There's a lot of solutions that are needed. This is one part of that, but an important one that has some importance in terms of needing gap funding, but also doing the work that's really working right now for South Dakota youth and young adults. So I thank you for the time. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mitchell Rave with Sanford Health. I just want to align myself with the comments of the other proponents. I think they laid out well how much of an issue this is in our state, and I've talked to with our mental and behavioral health folks at Sanford, and the numbers are troubling, and it's almost a crisis level, and it's something we need to address, and I think that this funding will help address that need, and I think anything we can do to support these folks is a step in the right direction. So with that, urge your support. Thank you.
Any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Caleb Wyland. I am the president of the South Dakota Student Federation and the University of South Dakota Student Government Association. I'm representing both organizations here today. The Student Federation is an organization that represents over 30,000 students that attend our state's regimental institutions. And in a unanimous voice, we made mental health not only our number one priority, but our only priority. We see it every day. From my freshman year, we all have the stories that mental health is a real issue. You heard today many powerful testimonies, powerful statistics that shows that suicide isn't discriminatory, mental health issues aren't discriminatory. And when we did an analysis of regimental mental health services, it was even worse than what I expected. And to be honest with you, it's not just from a suicide prevention standpoint, but the fact that we have a counseling shortage, and those counselors who are working now are working their tails off. I've talked to many of them from over 4 institutions that are experiencing burnout, and it's at what point are we going to say that we have a problem here? Let's address it with a more proactive system, a more proactive skill set for our students and the next generation of South Dakotans, and say, if you're experiencing depression and anxiety, we have coping skills training, we have peer mentoring, so you can have a community, so you can be a community-oriented citizen and future-focused. With this policy, it does all those things, and I urge your support on behalf of the South Dakota Student Federation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whalen. I can say thank you, Caleb, because he was an intern here for us for a couple of years, and I'm so proud of you moving forward in all this. Thank you. Any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Blake Pulse, a registered lobbyist with the SDSU Students Association and currently the Students Association president. I'm here today to speak in on behalf of the 11,331 students that call South Dakota State University home, and here today to speak in favor of House Bill 1079. It's no secret that mental health is a growing epidemic across the United States, in South Dakota, and of course on our college campuses. A recent study conducted by International Accreditation of Counseling Services developed a theorem for calculating institutional need for mental health resources, showing that campuses should be able to serve about 15% of their student population. Here at SDSU, we would need to hire 3 additional counselors or have more resources to be able to reach that 15%. As of yesterday, SDSU had 110 students waiting on the wait list to get into mental health counseling. In order to serve that current need, we would need to hire 2 additional counselors. Without those counselors or resources, these students often give up and seek other resources off campus, which are equally as full, and they're often met with no. We understand that this bill does not guarantee any counselors, but any resource is a win for mental health for our students, especially within our online students and satellite campuses. There's a nationwide mental health professional shortage and limited funding to go along with it. So South Dakota today really has the opportunity to show their support of mental health efforts to better the lives of students across the state, and the mental health, better mental health resources for the students at South Dakota State University and across the Board of Regents system. So in conclusion, I would really appreciate your support of House Bill 1079. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? We have no one online, I don't believe so. Any other proponent testimony? Do we have any opponent testimony? Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Mark Fuller with the Bureau of Finance and Management. In front of you is House Bill 1079. As previously mentioned, this bill appropriates $4 million in one-time funding to the Department of Health to supply grants to suicide prevention programs. At this time, the ongoing budget includes dedicated budgetary resources for suicide prevention programs within the Department of Health, Public Safety, and Department of Social Services. In addition to the current budget, the governor's recommended budget for the fiscal year includes an additional $1.6 million in ongoing general funds within the Department of Social Services to support the 988 Suicide Crisis Lifeline. For this reason, we respectfully refer this bill to the Joint Committee on Appropriations so it may be a part of ongoing budget discussions. That being said, the governor does support suicide prevention members and does recognize that this is the statistics within the state. So thank you, and stand by for questions.
Hey, thank you. Do we have any other opponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, do we have any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Deutsch.
Thank you. Question for the prime sponsor, please. Kind of a multi-part question, if I might. First, can you share with us how you arrived at the figure of $4 million, and is it enough?
That's a great question, and I appreciate it. You know, the $4 million was kind of not really exact number. I was trying to find a reasonable number that wasn't too large of an ask to raise a lot of red flags, but also that I felt would give an impact. I think going lower than the $4 million then would split out some of these categories and make them less effective. So that was why trying to get to that larger number.
Thank you. Should the committee decide to move this on, have you had discussion about if it should go to appropriations?
Mr. Chair? Yes, the recommendation would be to go to joint appropriations so that we can further analyze the budget along with the rest of what's going on in our state. I have also had conversations with many of the joint appropriators, and there's a very much of a desire, I think, to fund this. The actual mechanism of funding, whether or not it's one-time or ongoing funds, is still to be determined, so I want to be very forthright with the committee on that. That I am open and flexible, and I think that the work that should be done and could be done is also able to be flexible with what that funding would look like.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I just would mention the motion, if we decide to for DuPass, would be to refer to joint appropriations with a DuPass recommendation. That would be the motion. So are there any other questions? Seeing none, I'll end the question period and open it up to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. I move DuPass while referring to Committee on Appropriations.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clement.
I believe that the proper motion would be to refer it to joint, not necessarily DuPass, but.
You can do DuPass recommendation.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay.
So my motion stands.
Okay. So just to paraphrase, Representative Nelson's motion is to refer to joint appropriations with a DuPass recommendation, seconded by Representative Mulder.
Yep.
Any discussion on that motion? Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Thank you. So, yes, Representative Deutsch.
Just to thank the good representative for bringing the bill. I thought it was a really good conversation and a good bill. I appreciate it and look forward to supporting it all the way to the governor's desk.
Okay, so everyone understands the motion, correct? Okay, so I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Kamak.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
Donnell.
Aye.
Healy.
Aye.
Hearman.
Aye.
Cole.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Mulder.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Schaefbauer.
Aye.
Weisgram.
Aye.
Rehfeldt.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
13 ayes.
Okay, thank you. House Bill 1079 will be referred to joint appropriations with a DuPass recommendation. Thank you. Well, now